You're listening to Midlife Side Quest, the Over the Hill Gaming Podcast. Here's your host, John Wall.
It's April 17th, 2025, and welcome to episode 129 of Midlife Side Quest, the Over the Hill Video Game Podcast. My name is John Wall, and every week I bring you my video game impressions, the latest industry news, and tales of a Gen X geek, delivered to you in just 15 minutes. Thank you very much for tuning into the show this morning. On today's episode, we're going to be talking about the collision of politics and video games. That's going to be fun. But first, let's check out the latest gaming news. A Minecraft movie continues to be a massive hit for Mojang and Microsoft, and it continues to annoy the crap out of cranky adults who can't understand the appeal. After its second weekend, the movie starring Jack Black and Jason Momoa passed $550 million at the global box office. That's tracking ahead of other successful video game adaptations like Sonic the Hedgehog and Super Mario Brothers. It also caused a bit of chaos at theaters, with videos showing up online of attendees jumping up and down and throwing popcorn all over the theater when Jack Black yells the phrase "chicken jockey," which I don't really know what that means. But that's okay. I saw a lot of impressions of the movie online last week from critics and websites who were very quick to trash the movie and say how absolutely horrible it is. But I think they just couldn't get over the fact that the movie wasn't being targeted at them. You know, this movie is very clearly aimed at the hardcore Minecraft geeks who share the memes and watch the SMPs on YouTube. All the jokes and references are for those kids and those, teens and young adults. And it's fine if people like me have no idea what the heck it all means. That doesn't make it a bad movie. And you know what? Even if it was bad, even if it was a crappy movie, who cares? Really, when I was a kid, I loved some truly horrible movies. Gremlins 2, Over the Top, Superman 4. It's okay to like crappy movies. And we should just let the kids have some dang fun. Politics and video games have always been connected, from the themes in certain games like BioShock, Fallout, and probably the most brazenly political game of them all, Metal Gear Solid, to the industry itself. Like in the 90s, when Connecticut Senator Joe Lieberman held hearings targeting violent video games like Mortal Kombat and Night Trap, or Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez streaming Among Us on Twitch to appeal to young voters. Games have been and always will be political. Hell, even the act of saying that you're going to keep politics out of your game, which some developers do, is a political act. Recently, though, gaming seems to be getting mixed up in Washington politics more than ever before, and in ways that go beyond the usual, you know, politicians trying to blame Grand Theft Auto for corrupting our youth right before an election. So I just thought I'd take a little bit this week and talk about what's been going on and how it's affecting the industry and how I personally feel about it all. And before I do, let me make this perfectly clear. I am not, by any stretch of the imagination, an expert on these matters. So, you know, don't take this as the gold standard. I watch the news, I read articles, but, you know, this ain't Meet the Press. I might get a few things wrong. Feel free to leave a scathing one-star review on Apple Podcasts. So, the most attention-grabbing story recently has been regarding the Switch 2 and the tariffs put in place by Trump. A tariff is a tax charged on goods bought from other countries. So if Peggy's boutique hats, you know, buys her fabric from, say, Taiwan, Peggy will need to pay a percentage of that item's value to our government. To be clear, this is not a tax on that foreign government. It's a tax on the citizens of the U.S. who buy these items from overseas. And this is typically used in trade wars to both encourage the creation of products inside your own country and also to pressure foreign governments into doing something, you know, by trying to reduce the amount that they make from exports. Now, the way this affects gaming is that, to my knowledge, most everything gaming related, from consoles to discs, are produced in other countries and imported here to the US. And even if, say, you know, a game console is assembled here in the US, the components are being made somewhere else and shipped over here. So if the price is higher to bring it here, you better believe that that cost is going to be passed on to the consumer with higher prices. We've seen that already with the Switch 2. And I wouldn't be the least surprised to see Microsoft or Sony raising console prices very soon. To add insult to injury, the way Trump has announced and rolled out these tariffs is just as confusing and asinine as everything else he does. He announces them, and then he pauses them, and he changes the number on them, and then he changes which items are excluded. It's a hot mess. So when it's clear that the person in charge of these decisions is an idiot who doesn't know what he's doing and will change things on a whim, companies are going to hedge their bets and raise the price to the highest point that they think they can, you know, get away with to accommodate for those unpredictable fluctuations. And even if a company like Nintendo wanted to start manufacturing Switch 2s in the US, even if they could, it would take years, by all estimates from professionals, years to plan and execute that. It's just not going to happen. So will any of this work? You know, will Trump get what he's after? Who knows? You know, I'm sure some countries will try to strike a deal. But in the meantime, it's going to be U.S. consumers who end up hurting from this. Another big story recently was the call for the boycott of all Xbox products by BDS, a Palestinian-led protest group, which stands for Boycott, Divestment, and Sanctions. The call comes after an investigation by the group found that Microsoft had strengthened ties with the Israeli government since the October 2023 attack by Hamas. It alleges that Israel has used Microsoft's Azure cloud technology and AI in their invasion of Gaza, and therefore the company has profited off of the war crimes committed by Israel. So this also comes after two Microsoft employees were fired in October for holding a protest on the company campus, condemning the organization's involvement with Israel. Now, I was not familiar with this group before this call for a boycott, but looking at their website, they also list companies such as Coca-Cola, Disney, Google, Amazon, and McDonald's as targets for pressure or for boycott. So I can't speak to their methods or how they decide which organizations to include on this list. But looking at the companies, I feel like it would be fairly difficult for most people to cut out all of these businesses out of their lives completely. I mean, really, when it comes down to it, most big companies are owned by millionaires and billionaires, and most of those people are tied to some really scrupulous, shady folks. That being said, it's obviously important for people to speak out about what's going on. The Israeli government has committed horrific war crimes and murdered thousands of innocent people, far beyond any reasonable response to the attacks against their own people in 2023. And those that are responsible should be held accountable fully. Does canceling Game Pass make a big difference in that effort? Yeah, does targeting the gaming division of Microsoft specifically make sense? I don't know, you know, and really it's up to each individual person to decide what they want to do. I've never been about telling people what form their protest should take or who or what they should be boycotting. I think as long as you are speaking out about the issues that matter the most to you, you know, in some form or another, that's, you know, for me, that's enough. And it shows that you care. Microsoft has not commented on this story, and I don't expect that they will, but I do hope that they and all other companies take a good long look at who they're doing business with and if that business is worth the cost. We live in an increasingly complicated world, and who is on the side of right or wrong can sometimes change day to day. It's hard to know who to listen to. It's hard to know who is telling the truth sometimes, especially in an age when false information flows freely throughout the internet. I think most of us are just trying our best to live good lives and speak up for what we believe in. And that has and will always come out in our art, including video games. Before I go, today is National High Five Day. So I would like you all to go out and celebrate by giving as many high fives as humanly possible. Now, I know that COVID has scared us all, and a high five never used to bring with it the fear of catching a deadly respiratory disease. But I maintain that the five is still the superior form of celebration and greeting. Fist bumps are just silly, you know, and the whole, you know, grab hands and then slap each other on the back, that's way too bro for my taste. But a great five, whether up high or down low, never goes out of style. And although there have been many different theories about its origins over the years, the invention of the high five is widely attributed to Major League Baseball players Dusty Baker and Glenn Burke, who high-fived each other after Baker hit a home run in the sixth inning at Dodger Stadium on October 2nd, 1977. And it's probably not a coincidence that a mere 6 days after the high-five slapped its way into existence, I was born. Mm-hmm. Also, Burke was one of the first openly homosexual professional athletes, making the high-five 50% gay. Now you know. Thank you so much for listening to Midlife Side Quest. I really appreciate you making time in your day to hang out with me. You can catch a new episode of the show every Thursday morning wherever you listen to podcasts, and you can support the show by subscribing and leaving a review. So until next time, be well and happy gaming.